Join us for Seawolves Sports Weekly at 10 p.m., where we get our red on and talk with our Stony Brook coaches and student athletes. Then stick around for the sports section, Long Island's longest-running sports call-in show, with your phone calls every Sunday night. Seawolves Sports Weekly, followed by the sports section. It all starts Sunday night at 10 here on 90.1 FM WUSB and on the internet at WUSB.FM.
Yes, yes, yes. This is WUSB Stony Brook. Fantastic. It is exactly 6:02 p.m. 6:03. It just changed. And that means one thing. That means it's time for Off the Wall. WUSB 90.1 megahertz FM in Stony Brook. That's extra legal.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
This is Off the Wall. I'm Kyle, and right beside me is Emmanuel.
Right smack next to you. You know, they don't give us any space in this location here.
And why would they?
An inch separating us, sharing one microphone. And I'm only coming out to the left, aren't I?
Oh, let me adjust that here.
Yeah,
let me give you a little wiggle,
yeah.
A little shimmy.
Not so hard.
All right.
I just woke up. All right. Here we are. There we go. I snapped back into life for a second there. And now I'm... what are you doing to my voice? Oh, God. Oh, wow. This is what happens when you touch things. Let's just leave it the way it is. Yeah, that's probably better.
Oh.
Where are you now? Your voice has disappeared.
Hello?
USB, the gift that keeps on giving. All right, so now... what do you have to mess with me for? Okay. I think that was just the headphones, so I think my voice is still there. But your voice is definitely gone, Kyle. And Kyle is... He's using sign language now, which he's very good at, but unfortunately, and this is unfair, in the world of radio, sign language is not... I think you're back.
Come in.
Yeah.
Come in.
No, don't come in. Touch
anything
anymore. But that's why they have us so closely positioned here. We can't move barely an inch. And that's why, you know, if you reach and touch something, you break it, so don't.
Okay, well,
right.
Now that we've thoroughly...
establish the ground rules.
Yeah.
Well, now that we're talking about baseball, tonight is the baseball game. The baseball game.
The big game.
This game decides it all. No? All right. This game will start deciding it all. There could be seven of them. Whose idea was that? Why is it that they have to play seven to decide who's better? I mean, there's only one Super Bowl. Imagine there are seven of those. Imagine the money you could make with seven Super Bowls in 1 year. What's wrong with these people? Why don't they think of these things? Why is it that football gets separated by a full week every game, and baseball, you got to play sometimes two games in 1 day? Are they saying that baseball is easier than football? I don't think that's right. I'm ready for any issue you want. I'm ready to go. I'm fired up. I had a cup of coffee, and I'll argue about anything right now.
Oh, no, I agree. I fully agree
Don't agree, please. Don't agree with
everything you said.
It's the worst possible thing you can do is agree with me. You understand why?
No, I don't.
Okay, good. See, that's it. You're supposed to argue and say, no, I don't understand. That doesn't make any sense. You're out of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's good radio.
Yes. Go ahead. Explain.
That's all I had. I didn't really develop it beyond that point. But, no, the baseball game is tonight. The Mets are in their first World Series since 1910. Wrong notes yet again. Since 2000, I believe. This is the first post-9/11 Mets World Series ever.
Ever?
Ever, yeah. This is history. And the last time they played the World Series, they had to play the Yankees. So they didn't even get the full attention of New York, because half of New York was on one side and half was on another. It was very ugly. And, of course, the results of the game were also rather ugly, too.
But not this time. This time it's full steam ahead. We're going to have the kind of outcome we dream about here in New York.
Yeah, some kind of outcome. It's not the game's happening in Kansas City. The first two games happen in Kansas City. But what's cool is we get the weekend. We get the entire weekend. Then it goes back to Kansas City if they last that long. And the Mets have only won two World Series in their entire history. The Yankees, of course, have won like 50. So you know, it's weird to see the difference the way it's covered. Some people just find the Mets lovable, no matter if they win or lose. And other people just believe the Yankees will always win because they're entitled to. And it's kind of weird seeing how the media kind of slants itself in one direction more than another.
Well, they're very exciting. But, of course, not the only sports news, as it were.
No, that's true. We have our Europa League results, which we saw a bit of.
We did. We actually went back and looked at some of the tape, which... It was kind of interesting. There were some really great shots the kind that I guess they train for, but nearly going the outside, ricocheting off goal equipment. Really incredible athletic stuff with the skill and just the way these guys run in there and make a shot when maybe they're in retreat. The volleys back and forth right at the line there. Incredible stuff.
Yes. And we saw a highlight show. We don't get to see every match because there's so many of them. Some matches are shown in this country, but not the one that we were following. And so we had to basically, and it's weird, too, the way they do it. There's... I think 64 teams playing at this point. I'm not exactly sure. But there's groups, I believe they go from A to L, each one having four teams at this point. We're in group D. But they don't do it A, B, C, D. They do like B, J, A, and D. I don't know what order they pick. So we didn't know when our game was coming up. So all of a sudden it came up, and there it was. Michelin, you say it better.
Michelin.
The Danish team that we have randomly started following.
Mm-hmm.
And they're playing Napoli, which is, I believe, the best team in that particular four-team division.
I believe you say that they're playing up a bit there.
Yeah. Yes. This is the first time these two teams have met. Our team played Club Bruges, which is from Belgium, and was that Liga Warsaw, the Polish team? And won both times, so we had six points in second. We're actually tied for first place with Napoli, who also beat those two teams once each. But now, when we faced Napoli, I figured it was going to be a tough match, and it was, and we lost 4-1. But, you know, we're still in second place. Napoli's in first place. They have 9 points. We have 6 points, and the other two teams, they tied. They played each other, and they tied, so they each have 1 point. But the thing is, now you play each team twice on your home turf and on their home turf, and we have to play Napoli again in 2 weeks. That's how it works. You play three teams, and you play those three teams again in reverse order, I guess. And this time we're playing them on their home turf. It didn't work out too well in Denmark. So probably going to lose that match as well. But, you know, even if the other two teams, well, they're playing each other, if one of them wins, they still don't have the same amount of points as we do. So we're still in good shape. We just have to beat them when we get around to it.
Very cool.
Yeah, so that's Europa League, and that's something that only we cover here at USB on Off the Wall. Did you see the headlines today? I don't think you did.
I don't think I did.
Look at that. Look at that headline, the first one.
Are you...
No,
get out.
I am not kidding. I am not kidding. That happened.
In a million years.
That happened. I just saw it right now. Right?
Wow.
Isn't that something? Listeners, do you see this? This is unbelievable. It just keeps happening. You know? It starts with, like, your drug dealers on the corner, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then one guy moves in, takes over someone else's turf, right? And then
then
this gang comes in, takes over the entire area.
Oh, we don't use the G word here.
Okay, fine. It's not a G word. Organization. But then a conglomerate comes in, takes over the organization, and then some corporation comes, takes over the conglomerate, and then before you know it, you got a drugstore. And then you have a drug emporium. Actually, I think that's an actual name. And they take over a whole bunch of drugstores, and they got a chain before you know it. Then a bigger chain comes and takes over that chain, and before you know it, there's a monopoly.
Yeah, it's consolidation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we just found out that Walgreens is buying Rite Aid for $9.4 billion. That includes all the drugs they have.
Not your everyday corner dealer anymore, huh?
It gets bigger. I mean, it's kind of inspirational to see how big it gets, but they are still on the corner.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But didn't Rite Aid just buy Duane Reade? I thought they did. I can't keep track of it anymore. I think Rite Aid bought, oh no, Walgreens.
I didn't hear that.
Bought
okay.
Duane Reade.
Okay.
That's what happened.
Yeah, I think I've seen Walgreens trucks unloading.
So now Walgreens bought Rite Aid. So now Walgreens bought Rite Aid. It'd be embarrassing if they already bought this and
they're
buying it a second time. But no, they bought Duane Reade, and now they're buying Rite Aid.
Mm-hmm.
So those were the three drug chains in New York that I would see, and now there's just going to be one.
Hmm. Yeah, and it's funny because a lot of them are in stores now. They're in big chain stores. I'm not going to mention all the chain stores, but a lot of them have pharmacies.
A lot of drugs have made it into...
Yeah. It's like either a part of your big box store or a part of your discount all over America, biggest store chain in the world, putting local chains out of business, a company, that one. And then the other one that's always a target of hackers.
Well, wait, Home Depot? No, wait, who... Who's the target of so many? I don't know which one. Who?
Well, I mean, the name might be in there. Anyway.
Well, the thing is, everybody wants drugs, and they're everywhere.
Yeah,
so
Target. Target.
Target, oh!
Yeah, they have a pharmacy.
The name was in the clue.
All right.
Wow. Don't I feel stupid?
No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't. But we are, as I said, a non-commercial radio station here. And we count on your support.
Yes, we do. We absolutely do.
What else you got? What's going on in the world?
And you can support us by going to WUSB.FM.
WUSB.FM. There are a lot of options there to make a supportful pledge.
Including one to link your bank account directly to us so we can just siphon off what we need when we need it.
Yeah. And, you know, mention our program. Well, mention another program if you hook that up. But if you just make one of those regular everyday kind of pledges there, mention Off the Wall if you can. Suffice to say, it gets back and it's that kind of karma that keeps us going.
I mentioned also that you understood that when I said that siphon remark that I was joking, that we don't have such a thing. What we do have is an ability for you to donate a certain small amount every month. That adds up over 12 months into a larger amount.
Yeah.
And that's kind of cool, and
that
helps us.
Does not suck.
No, not at all. WUSB.FM is our address.
Or siphon.
Yes.
So.
So those of you, we have some updates on things we did, but I just wanted to have this public service announcement because Halloween is coming up.
It is.
And those of you planning on going to the Kings Park Psychiatric Center, as I know is tradition amongst many of us, we've been there. We've walked along the grounds and seen how scary and crazy it is. Old mental institution with massive buildings, weeds growing everywhere, and all kinds of screams being heard, both in the present and the past. Well, if you're going there on Halloween, there will be increased patrols and travel restrictions on the grounds of the former Kings Park Psychiatric Center through the Halloween weekend. That's according to state officials. The 500-acre site overlooking Long Island Sound sometimes draws the curious who have heard stories about the ghosts of former patients haunting the ground. My phone's going crazy for some reason. Hear this. Can anybody identify this sound? Okay. I must have tweeted something that got popular. That happens sometimes. And before you know it... some superstar retweets you, and you're getting 1,000 tweets a second. But anyway, if anyone can identify that tone, please send it into odw@9600.com.
I'd just like you to please respect the tweet limit in here.
Well, there is no tweet limit in here because...
There is a tweet limit.
There's usually no connectivity in here. But, fine. Anyway, I'm talking about Kings Park.
Yeah.
We spent many
years there,
midnight wandering through the grounds... exploring the dangerous buildings, and they're kind of dangerous because, well, you won't get an on-the-spot lobotomy anymore, but you could fall through a floor, you know, or disturb somebody who's sleeping there. I imagine a number of people take advantage of those large buildings that are empty. 500-acre site overlooking Long Island Sound sometimes draws the curious who have heard stories about the ghosts of former patients haunting the grounds. Officials have said in the past. Officials have said this. Yeah.
Officially.
Stories about the ghosts of former patients.
Yeah.
And a few former patients that aren't ghosts that they forgot about that are still in their buildings that can't get out.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem. They've said that vandalism and trespassing spike around Halloween. How can you vandalize something that's abandoned in the first place? You know, they've given up on it. They're not doing anything with it. Short of burning it down, anything you do to it isn't really going to hurt it.
No, but if it is a safety issue, I mean, it might be a good idea to steer clear.
No, I mean, if you sign...
Very cool to walk around.
If you sign a waiver saying, you know, if I get impaled by Freddy Krueger or something while I'm in here, it's not your fault, my fault entirely, I brought this on myself. You know, something like that, with the standard legalese attached. Then we can these mental cops, and I call them mental cops because every time I drive in there, I get followed by a cop who works for the Kings Park Psychiatric Center and tries to escort you off the grounds. They could spend their time at home with family and celebrate Halloween that way instead of having to chase us all the time.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, it would be nice not to be chased. It would be cool if they got in the spirit a bit, if there was some kind of acknowledgement, because people are curious.
Wow, imagine that. Imagine if the cops on the grounds dressed up.
A like little.
All
yeah.
kinds of scary creatures. And just scared the bejesus out of anyone, whatever that is.
Undead mental police, yeah.
Yeah. That could be really cool.
Yeah.
Come on, guys, get with the spirit, you know?
They could get a little theatrical troupe maybe together, find some people, put a little ad out, and or you know, collaborate. There could be something there. That sounds cool.
I just think it's great that there are travel restrictions on the grounds of a former mental institution. I just love that phrase, travel restriction. I mean, travel in general on the grounds of a mental institution seems kind of weird. But go ahead.
It is a park.
Well,
of
it's
sort.
It's a site. I'm not sure if it's actually... There are parts of it that are park-ish. I see people jogging there. There's trees, benches. You have to have benches if you have a park. And I know they wanted to turn it into a park. I don't want them to tear down the buildings, though. Those buildings are amazing.
It would be really, really impressive to see some people come together to restore them such that people could use them or... repurpose them even as a visual spectacle.
Mm-hmm.
If you couldn't enter them, but otherwise maybe light them or do some impressive sort of homage to the nature of it, the architecture and just that what do we call that? Brutalist.
Yeah, that is actually is a description of architecture, brutalist. I'm not sure if it applies to that.
I don't know if it does. It seems it. I think
it applies to the Health Science Center here at Stony Brook. I think that's considered brutalist architecture.
Brutalist architecture on campus. If you're an architect architecture student, please, we'd love to hear from you. OTW at 2600.com.
Or an architecture professor. You know, somebody.
Yeah, maybe you teach and understand different styles in historical architecture.
Or an architect.
Or an architect, maybe in the listening area.
Yeah, yeah. Or somebody. Well, the whole world's in the listening area now because of the internet.
And so, if you're not in the radio listening area but streaming, you're welcome too.
Yes.
And even in the future.
In the future, you're welcome to come back and contact us in the past because no doubt you will have figured out how to do that.
OTW at 2600.com. We always like comments and insight that people might have.
To describe it, though, I mean, you've seen the main building. There's a bunch of buildings on this complex in Kings Park, which is not far away from here. First of all, there used to be a lot of mental institutions on Long Island because Long Island was basically the wilderness. And about 50 miles away from New York City, which is kind of where we are, a little further than that, there wasn't much beyond that. So people would be driven all the way out there to spend some time to get well. And there are places like... Pilgrim State, those grounds are still there, exit 53 of the Long Island Expressway. There was a place adjacent to that called Edgewood, which had this big, massive building that was right on Comac Road. It was so scary. You'd come across it driving down that road at night, and you just see this huge, dark structure looming about 12 stories high. And you just knew there were stories of things that happened there. And I remember one time a bunch of us wandered around on the grounds there, and we were going to explore the building, but we kind of scared ourselves out of it. But we looked in the windows, and you just saw these signs on the ground, one of which had a sign that said adolescence with an arrow, you know, for all the mental patients that were adolescents, they go in this direction. And horrible things happen in these places as well, because 1950s, mental health, not exactly two things that got along very well. So lobotomies and shock treatment and horrors like that made the place even
more exciting,
more scary. We saw a wheelchair in the forest that was just like lying there, a rusted wheelchair.
Whoa.
There were train tracks that went up to this place. I don't know what the train tracks were for.
Coal.
Coal. Maybe, yeah, I suppose, back then. There's another one. Central Central ISOP has a psychiatric center. I think that one is still running. Mm. But Kings Park was the one. That's one closest here. It's on the North Shore.
Yes.
They also had a big building. Now you saw that big building.
There's several of them, and they are really tall, and much bigger the closer you get. It's almost an optical illusion because they're spread out. From a distance, you see several buildings, a cluster of buildings. But when you get really close up, you tend to realize just how big they are. It's really amazing.
And dark and empty, supposedly.
Yeah, the base is usually well fenced for safety and so on. But it's an amazing feeling of structure, solid structure,
mm-hmm.
that kind of masonry and lasting construction.
Yeah,
it is imposing, and it's really a sight to see.
What could you do with it now? You know, I don't want to tear down that building. That building is so impressive looking. It's been used on album covers, you can't put another mental institution there. I don't think that would be right. I certainly wouldn't want to live in that building. I don't think anybody would want to. What else could you... office buildings, is that right? Or, like you were saying, some kind of, I don't know, museum or something that actually marks the importance of it.
Yeah, some kind of restoration as well as maybe, like, art. Something that honors the history and tells the story to some degree, but definitely something with artists and lighting and I mean, I don't know, it depends on how much you could possibly spend and the type of people that were interested, but there's tons of ideas. You could do some kind of green building project in conjunction with it or in turning it into some kind of vertical garden or who knows. I mean, there's all kinds of creative uses of space, and it's such a cool space and historical and has good bones. It would be really exciting if people were to get creative and build something new in the future.
Now, for those of you who need to know what to avoid, where not to go, the Kings Park Mental Institution is right off of Route 25A in Kings Park. I think it's across the street from the high school, which really makes it interesting. And adjacent to the post office. So if you find those two places, it's on the north side. You'll see a little gated entryway. And it's usually open. And if you drive in there, no doubt you'll attract the attention of the local mental police or whatever body is patrolling the place at that point in time. The road does continue. It goes through to another road north of that. So you can use it to get from one place to another. But if you go down that road, you will see eventually on the left-hand side the massive building, the biggest, the tallest one of that former institution. So it's worth it. It's worth looking at. But if you go there on Halloween, you might have trouble. You have to have a valid reason. Only vehicles with good reason will be authorized to travel on Kings Park Boulevard on those days. Those days being Friday through Sunday. The restriction will be enforced to prevent access to a site potentially hazardous to individuals' health and safety, the agency said in a news release. So, heed that warning.
Very exciting.
But
if
you walk there, then what do they do? They can't stop you.
No, they wouldn't dare.
All right. Hey, so we did something exciting last week.
Yes,
remember?
We did.
Yeah. We've been wanting to go see a hearing. We watch Channel 18, is it? The Cablevision channel?
No, that's local. That's local government access. I think you're talking about 77.
Oh, well, you're going way up to the top. I was starting small. The Brookhaven Town Board zoning people, which gets, you know, sometimes a little heated. Sometimes people disagree.
Right.
But you're talking about C-SPAN, which is the whole country, House of Representatives and Senate, Channel 78, I think, and, yeah, all kinds of highfalutin stuff like that. Okay, yeah, so we skipped over a couple of levels and decided that we were going to try and go to an actual hearing in Washington, D.C. You know, nothing really big or significant. We just picked one at random. However, the one we picked at random happened to have Hillary Clinton in it. And, well, it was something else, wasn't it?
It was something else. Yeah, there was this little hearing over an incident that took place in Libya.
I'm going to do a Bengal Tigers or something.
Benghazi?
That's what it was. Yeah, I had trouble following.
Benghazi.
Keeps coming up over and over again.
Been quite gazzy.
Yeah, but seriously, folks, we picked this hearing, and I knew at the time the odds of us getting into the actual hearing with Hillary Clinton in the room have to be pretty slim. There's got to be a lot of people that want to go to these things. I've been to hearings before. I went to one of the Iran-Contra hearings, but there were a lot of those. This was only happening one day, and those hearings didn't have presidential candidates, likely presidents, attending them. So I figured the odds were slim at best. And also, you know, we had to figure out how to get there and take care of all these little details. Well, okay, the hearing started at 10 in the morning. And, well, we're up here in Long Island, so what do we do? Turns out you can take a train. You can take a train right from Stony Brook, in fact, at about 11 at night. That gets you into Penn Station at about 1:30 in the morning, maybe a little later. And things are really, really dead then. Not a lot going on in Penn Station at all. But it's New York City. New York City, so there's always something happening someplace. And a couple of blocks down is K-Town, Koreatown. And we were able to have an amazing meal there. That was kind of weird, too. You want to describe that?
The place was kind of packed. There was a lot of people. There was people actually talking politics in there, which was interesting. So late at night, you'd think it wouldn't be that vibrant, but of course it is. It's in the city, and we found a table and got right in with probably some of the after bar crowd, I guess. I don't know, but it was really vibrant, and they had a whole bit of Well, we got a whole fish, didn't we?
Well, we each got... Okay, here's the thing.
Felt like Heathcliff or something.
When you go to a Korean place, you order something, but then you get about a dozen little plates with things on them that just come no matter what you order. And we each got a whole fish on a plate.
A fried fish.
It was really good, too. And that almost was enough to fill me up right there.
Yeah, we were pretty much done at that point.
And you get all kinds of vegetables. You got pickles. It's really, really cool.
But it was leisurely because we were basically laid over waiting. We otherwise would have been standing in front of a board at a train station.
There was an Amtrak train at 3 in the morning that got into Washington, D.C. at about 7. Actually, it was a slow train because usually it takes about 3 and a half hours. It's
right.
4 hours.
Right.
But it was perfect for us because I figured, you know, for a 10 a.m. hearing, getting there at 7 in the morning, 3 hours beforehand, it's probably about the time anybody else would be getting there, too, who intended to wait online. So all we had to do was stay up all night. And that's, you know, that's usually a deal-breaker for a lot of people, not us. Fortunately, we were able to pull that off and have dinner at the same time at 2 in the morning in New York City. So it was pretty awesome. And we got on our train, made it all the way down there. And from Union Station in Washington, D.C., to the building where the hearing was being held is basically a straight line. You wouldn't know it by looking at Google Maps because I got Google Map directions and it just, you know, walking directions. It was telling me to do all these crazy things. In fact, I got the same direction twice. Turn left onto this street northwest and towards this particular boulevard, and then it repeated it a second time. I don't know if I was supposed to do the same thing twice, but really all I had to do was walk down a straight line. Down a street that changed its name 3 times. No big deal. And we did that. It took us about 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Walked past the Capitol, in fact, where they've got all kinds of scaffolding around it. You probably have seen that. We actually saw people inside working on things. Looks like they're almost finished. You know, I figure that's kind of an insult to Obama to have the entire Capitol covered for his entire reign. That's sort of what it feels like.
Yeah, I don't know. We were talking about that. Are we the only people that see that? It's like they're not going to let him have it. Nah, yeah, you get to be the president, you know, but you don't get this.
Yeah, just like House of Cards, you know, it's the current year, They're currently running the campaign for 2016, and as a president who's not Obama right now. So, you know, those two things, the Capitol being covered by scaffolding and a very popular TV show that has a president that's not Obama for now, I don't know. A couple of things to note. But anyway, we walked by there and got right to the building just as we saw a line of people kind of forming, a line of maybe a couple dozen people. We crossed the street, got on the line, heard an announcement from a couple of the cops that were guarding the place saying, walk around the side of the building and they'll let you in there. We got there at the perfect moment.
The Capitol Police are really good, too.
Mm-hmm.
They're really, I mean, the authority, you know, the people that, they really are helpful, and it is amazing to be able to walk across those campuses. I mean, you can't really drive, of course. They have streets and little sideways blocked off, but gosh, it's great. You can ask them a question, mm-hmm. you know, if you need to find something, they're right there to help you. It's
very friendly.
It's the Park Police and the Capitol folks that are stewards there are really, really nice people. They do a good job.
And there are a lot of different kinds of cops there, too.
Yeah, a ton. It's all crazy.
But we got to the side of the building. We were outside maybe for about 10 minutes. They let us in. We went through a little metal detector. And then we were in the building. We were in the building.
Yeah, right there in the hallways of the house, as it were.
And there was nobody telling us where to go. We could have gone anywhere in the building. In fact, you're encouraged to go anywhere in the building. That's where representatives have their offices, and there's many stories. And I didn't know exactly. We had to go to room 1100. That's where the hearing was. But I didn't know exactly where that was. I had to ask around a little bit and follow other people. But it was interesting because we were treated like adults, like people who basically knew what they were doing and had a choice. And that was really cool. That really felt good and was kind of surprising, too. I wasn't expecting that. I've seen it before, but after all the crazy security shenanigans that we've gone through in this country, I sort of thought they'd be a bit more heavy-handed, but no, they weren't. And we found the hallway where the hearing, outside the hearing room, and there weren't that many people online. There was maybe, 30, 40 people online at that point, and we took our place and stood there for a couple hours. And it was really nice. We talked to a bunch of people. For some reason, the media kept coming up to us, asking us questions. We got interviewed by C-SPAN.
Yes.
That was pretty cool.
That was really cool. I liked seeing how C-SPAN worked. And
you're a C-SPAN junkie, and you love C-SPAN.
I was big time into it, and seeing that, I think I was probably one of the only people that were really interested in how everything was produced.
So, assuming there might be somebody else out there who is interested in how C-SPAN works, and is another C-SPAN junkie, how does C-SPAN work? What's your impression?
Well, they've got a real variety of equipment, and the producers and camera people there are really, really good at what they do. They basically set up throughout with a number of motorized cameras as well as regular camera people, technicians, whatever. I don't know exactly how they would refer to themselves. And they work pretty well in sync with what you would imagine is a control room somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the feeds from that building, whether it's a robotic camera or we even saw wireless. They walk around with backpacks, and that's how they did some of the hallway shots when people were in line.
They would walk up and down the hallway. There'd be a producer asking questions and a cameraman following him.
Yeah.
And that's really it. But they were getting some good stuff and relaying it, and some of it made onto the air.
Yeah. And they're probably photographers who've been, they're just maybe retired from doing local TV production, one way or the other, they ended up in this with this group, and some of them look like they're younger, you know, they're just getting involved, and others look like they're seasoned, you know, they've been to every single room for the last 20 years, and could probably get you anywhere, or tell you anything about different events and politics over the years. So it's a cool group, and they're really personable. They're really intense, but their mission, and you really do feel it, is to be objective.
They're intense, but they're invisible. You know,
right.
It's not like the regular media. They don't dominate, but they cover, and they're thorough. They are so thorough.
Yeah, and it's very smooth. A lot of the camera work, it's very quiet. And I don't mean just, like, noise dynamics. I mean just the subtle camera movements. They're very, like, as you would say, and like, kind of locked in. They're very tight with their coverage, and they very seldom make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not saying they're perfect.
Right.
But of sort of internal and governmental TV, I guess the other example would be NASA.
Well, okay, as long as you brought that up, I wonder why the people at C-SPAN can't help out the people at NASA TV. Because, man, if you ever see anybody make AV mistakes, you'd think it could send space vehicles to distant planets, but you can't videotape something without all kinds of audio and video issues going along that you never see on C-SPAN. They get it right. So maybe those guys could use a little bit of help as far as the AV goes. I don't know.
Well, I think partly it's NASA's mission is really out of this world. It's much bigger.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, out of this world.
It's not finite, right? It is a huge undertaking. And so for them to get coverage, they want scientific coverage for themselves. So that's kind of the angle they come at production, is they need video of their work. But another mission, another part of that, of what that media is purposed for, is public relations. So they get kind of a balance of that. What you're looking at with C-SPAN is something that's, I'll dare say, donated by cable television. So they are an industry that uses that equipment day in, day out, right? So it's the expertise of cable television broadcasters that you're seeing with C-SPAN. So I would say their control room for it is probably much more substantial, and their undertaking, their real purpose is for production, not so much research and PR for that research.
I have a slight issue with that, the donation by cable TV. In fact, C-SPAN used to be called a gift from the cable TV industry.
Right.
I don't think it's so much a gift as an obligation.
It is.
They get a lot.
Yeah.
They get a lot of access. They get a lot of customers through all kinds of governmental actions. In exchange for that, they are required to give a certain amount of access, whether it be public access, to some channels or government access. So I think what we are seeing is payback.
Yeah, and it's probably not even the best. I mean, they reserve the best for their big Super Bowl coverage or a debate or this mm-hmm. or that or the other thing. So, I mean, you get the sense that, I mean, I saw a real diversity of cameras and stuff like that. So you get the sense that it's maybe like kind of hand-me-down stuff that's repurposed from maybe a stadium that upgraded or an old broadcast studio, and then they kind of hacked the equipment to work out in government, and it's sort of a mishmash of parts and stuff that works. And amazing they're able to do what they do with that, but
mm-hmm.
I think that certainly they're benefiting from the broadcaster's expertise, right, in on the production side. They're going to have tighter, I feel, and this is, I guess, my point, is that they have a tighter production value or mm-hmm. a higher production value and tighter overall production than, say, like NASA. So
okay.
Where that's what I think the distinction why you see it that way. And NASA, of course, maybe not focused so much or as experienced with production per se. They're great with PR.
Right.
But actual, like, cutting live coverage, stuff like that, it's sort of secondary to their mission. Even private space, they video the stuff, but they're not as concerned. I mean, the, like, SpaceX launches you've seen have been maybe, like, after the fact you get video. It's not produced for, like, live cutting, and that's where the control room comes in, and so maybe they have a much smaller setup for NASA versus government.
Anyway, we waited online for a couple of hours, and they let us in. We were in the room. In the hearing room, and got to see the hearing.
And right in front of us, it was amazing. This press, every news agency, all the photographers are all waiting and looking down this doorway or this hallway for the entrance, the big entrance. And
Of Hillary Clinton.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And that was really impressive to be on that side of the lens, because you knew that those very shots were going to be in newspapers all over and everything. It was just this swarm of photographers just everywhere in the front of the room.
That was the one time. That was the one time I was annoyed, because there was this woman who decided that it was her job to tell people who were not pressed that they couldn't take pictures in that room. And, you know, everybody was taking pictures.
Staff.
Yeah, it was, you know, not necessarily flash photography, just using their cell phones. We were able to take our cell phones in there, after all. I wasn't even sure we were going to be able to do that. But since everybody was in there taking pictures of Hillary Clinton walking in, why in God's name couldn't we do that at the same time? And it was one person, that's one person saying you couldn't do that. So you just basically had to make sure she wasn't looking when you did it. The whole thing was really kind of homespun and interesting in various ways. We were just all in that room together. Nobody read a list of rules saying what we could or couldn't do.
They're trying to keep some normalcy, I think.
Yeah.
It was being, to keep it from being a zoo.
And it wasn't a zoo. People behaved themselves, and there weren't outbursts or anything like that. It was the way government should be. And it was, except for the fact that the hearing had to take place in the first place. That was kind of absurd, and the way they kept harassing Hillary Clinton with these questions. But as I said to one of the reporters, I forget which one, we got interviewed by the L.A. Times, by the Huffington Post, by C-SPAN, but I remember saying to somebody that this is a very important hearing for Hillary because this will show how she can deal with adversity. And I think that's exactly what she did. She did it well. She dealt with a bunch of inane, repeated, harassing questions and kept her cool.
Way cool. Yeah. Yeah. And what a thrill to be there. And we did get to walk around. We took in a little bit of some of the removal. They are removing some of that scaffolding from the Capitol building.
Yes.
And took a deep breath, and what did we do? We got right back on the train.
Well, we stayed for the first 3 hours, which, you know, that's a hearing in itself. But the hearing, as you probably know, went on for, I think, 10 or 11 hours.
Yeah.
It was still going on. We were on the LIRR coming home.
I'm sorry. I got ahead of myself. Yeah, we cut out. It is true.
Yes.
But we had a sense of what was going to be the remainder of all of that. And
we saw the fireworks at the end of the first
part.
Yeah. Who was it? Elijah Cummings.
God, I like him.
That guy rocks, man.
Yeah.
He is amazing. I didn't know there were Democrats on the actual committee, but he challenged everything that guy Gowdy was saying.
And this is, I mean, I don't want to liken it to NASCAR for the crashes and stuff, but this is why I like watching government and C-SPAN, even local government.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's boring. Yeah, it's dry. But the issues impact us. They are something you will be voting on. And they get really, really entertaining,
mm-hmm.
especially when through the Roberts, you know, the rules of order, the decorum and so on that is so famous in government, through that you still get disagreements. And often, and in this case, the people disagreeing are right next to each other. The chairman in this case, Dowdy, and Elijah Cummings were sitting right next to each other, completely disagree, just absolutely fuming mad he was towards the end of this.
I mentioned that to you at the time. We were able to whisper to each other inside the room, which was a very big room, carpeted, comfortable. Elijah Cummings was basically shouting back at Gowdy. What's his first name?
Dowdy.
Dowdy Gowdy? That's his name? No.
Troy.
Troy? Whatever.
Troy Dowdy.
Gowdy from
yeah.
South Carolina. Whatever. I said this is awkward that they, because usually when you see a crowd scene in some film where somebody says, I agree with Mr. Johnson, you know, he's standing on the other side of the room and he stands up and says that, or disagrees, they're right smack next to each other. So they were sort of like looking away while the other one was basically tearing down the other's position.
And the reason they're able to yell and scream at each other is because they are speaking through the chairman, or they're speaking, the rhetoric goes through whomever else. So in the House, you have the speaker,
mm-hmm.
so they say Mr. Speaker. So you could disagree with someone. You're not actually shouting at them,
right.
But you can shout at their position via the speaker.
Uh-huh.
And in this case, Dowdy was the chairman, so Elijah Cummings was disagreeing and speaking his side through the chairman who was sitting right next to him, that he totally, so he's still speaking to him as chairman, but as in direct opposition at the same time, an adversary, but also keeping that slight decorum that he is still the chairman of the Select House Committee, which is fascinating. I mean, it's not quite like Parliament, but we get these just glimmers of how to speak through the rhetoric, the decorum and the protocol, but still get that passion and vehement disagreement and argument and actual debate through, which is great. And that's why those people are participating, and that's really the exciting stuff to see the fur fly of it.
And it's not hard to do. You do have to make a couple of sacrifices, like what we did, staying up all night, taking a train, et cetera. You can do these things, and that's important that people know this. You can see the most amazing hearing of the year, or you can see a lesser one. It's still equally fascinating in other ways. There are about 8 other hearings going on at the same time that we could have gone to in D.C. at that time. So don't let this opportunity pass you by. It's something that's open, it's something that's your right, and it's something that's a lot more pleasant than you might think.
Yeah, yeah. Check it out. Check it out. Your democracy, and it's right there for you. You can get involved local, state, federal, however you see fit, but do it.
Yes.
It's exciting.
We're out of time.
We're out of time.
We didn't have anybody here to answer phones during Radiothon, but if you call in the next 10 minutes, maybe one of us will pick up and take your pledge. If you can call and support this radio station, if you liked what you heard.
Otherwise, WUSB.FM.
Our phone number is 631-632-6901. Stay tuned for Finn. See you next week. Yeah, Kid Spin with you. Finn's Revolution until the 9 p.m. hour. Director Amin Pallaji will be we're going to give away some tickets to his film Love, Marriage in Kabul, which is screening this Monday at the Port Jeff Film Festival. After that, the founder of hip-hop, DJ Kool Herc, will be talking about his movie, well, a movie he's associated with, The Rubble Kings, and then musicians El Imperio and Peter Kelly, all right here on WUSB Stony Brook on the first day of the World Series, which we're really not paying too much attention to. So, yeah, listen up and enjoy it.